So the church gives us something really concrete today that she wants us to think about. And you can tell that by how the readings are actually put together and structured. The thing she wants us to think about is the direction of our focus. The direction of our focus. You've probably heard the statistic, but our ability to focus has consistently gone down since the Industrial Revolution. And now there are some cases where goldfish have a longer span of attention than middle schoolers. Goldfish, you know, and you just put it in the bag and whatnot. That's a very short attention span. And so we're sort of like losing our focus on some level. These three readings, if you stack them together, King Solomon, St. Paul, and Jesus are all saying the same thing. If the direction of our focus is off, the direction of our life will be off. Ever been off? It's like a very common saying, like, oh, I feel off today. You know, I could be tired or a little bit sad or hungry or something, but you just kind of like, you don't feel like yourself. You just feel off. That phrase, that word is very, very telling. You know, the example I like to give most of the time for being off is the ship example. You're a ship, you're a vessel, and you want to leave a port in Europe and get to a port in the West. You're a little bit off, you're going to be really off. I want to flesh that out a little bit, just briefly today. Okay, so the basics. You set out on a sea voyage, like kind of get in that mind frame. And so you're going from the port of Rotterdam in Holland, which is the busiest and biggest port in Europe, to the port of New York and New Jersey, which is the biggest and busiest port in the United States. And that's your only goal, is to get from point A to point B. Simple enough. How hard could it be? It's getting a boat from one place to another place. I kid you not, these are the actual steps you have to take in order to do that. You have to chart the safest, most efficient route across the Atlantic. And you have to factor in storms, swells, fog, icebergs, currents, and traffic lanes. You got to make sure you have all of the fuel and the food and the supplies that you need to actually make the journey. You got to notify both ports of departure and arrival. You have to submit your departure paperwork and your crew and passenger manifests. You have to board a harbor pilot onto the ship to guide you out of Rotterdam. Then you have to get tugboat assistance to actually leave the berth. You have to contact vessel traffic services and use traffic separation schemes to get through the English Channel. While you're following the international regulations for preventing collisions at sea. Then you got to track your position daily, adjust your course and speed to avoid bad weather, keep bridge and engine room operations in full compliance with the standards of training, certification, and watchkeeping, submit an advance notice of arrival to the U.S. Coast Guard at least 96 hours before reaching U.S. waters, board another harbor pilot to navigate through the approaches to the port of New York and New Jersey, possibly take on another tugboat for safe docking, and then you can berth at the terminal assigned to you by the Port Authority. That's how you get from point A to point B. Why would I tell you this? You don't need to know this. This is information you will never need to know. Because that's how complicated it is to get one ship from one harbor to another harbor. So we can have Heineken and fancy cheese and IKEA furniture. That's what's going along that route mainly. If any one of those things is off, the ship doesn't make it to its destination. And yet, most of us, most of the time, think that it's pretty easy to get to heaven. We may not think it consciously, but subconsciously we're thinking, I'm not a serial killer. I'm probably going to make it. And we kind of rest on these ethereal laurels and think that it's easy to get to the kingdom of heaven. If there's one thing that this ship can teach us, it's that if the direction of our focus is off, the direction of our life will be off. If there isn't a cohesive, coordinated vision to get to the goal, we don't get to the goal. Nobody has ever accidentally won the Super Bowl. It takes a lot of planning. The Father wants us with Him forever, so much that we can't even conceive of the level of His desire for us. Can't fit it into our mind, can't fit it into our hearts. But the vast majority of us don't have a plan to agree with Him, just to bring ourselves into agreement with Him. We focus, as is the natural tendency, on what's right in front of us, here and now. Yeah? We study, we work, we cut grass, we go to Cancun, we diversify our portfolios, da-da-da-da-da. We work hard, sometimes very hard, to make sure our temporary lives are on track. We want them on track. But we generally don't put that same kind of effort into what our Lord calls the things that really matter. That means those things are less in His mind. You see the difference? All those things do really matter in a sense, but if we over-focus on them, they become idols. Anything and anyone can become an idol. It's just something that occupies a bigger place in your heart than Jesus. And it's so easy to do, especially in the Western world. The church on this kind of random Sunday in ordinary time, 18th Sunday in ordinary time, this is a big wake-up call she's giving us. The three readings usually don't sync up like this. She's telling us in a very, very clear way through the mouth of Solomon, wisest man to ever live, St. Paul, the guy who converted most of the early church, and Jesus Himself, immortal divine master of the universe, that if the majority of the time we spend thinking about our lives is planning for our earthly lives as if they were an end in and of themselves, then we're living in a way that's vain and greedy and foolish. That's an ice bath of a thing to realize, especially if you're really trying to live your faith. Yeah? So if that's you, remember step one, don't despair. Don't become discouraged. Realizing that we're off course in some sort of way is the first step to getting back on course. Our Lord isn't worried about you, and He's not disappointed in you. In fact, if this is you and you realize this, He's overjoyed. His heart is bursting with joy right now because you've already started to turn back toward the route to your eternal salvation that He's planned out for you. You're going to go through storms. We all go through storms. There's no sailing through life without hitting them. You're going to have to check in with people that know how to move forward through the spiritual life better than you do. And you're probably going to hit an iceberg or two. There's going to be a hard stop. But with Jesus Himself at the helm of your ship, with Him in control, absolute control, of your life, your focus will be one with your spiritual destination. When those two are united, focus and spiritual destination, there's no harbor you could possibly arrive at other than heaven itself.